Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the disgusting scandal at Penn State University that has resulted in the firing of the university's president and the famous coach Joe Paterno, which provoked a student demonstration in support of the disgraced football coach. The award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, Will Bunch, joins us to explain the moral vacuum at the university and apparently amongst the student body that allowed the activity of a serial pedophile to be covered up for so long, and why students would demonstrate in support of those who covered up such appalling criminal behavior. Then veteran Texas journalist James Moore, who is writing a book about Rick Perry, joins us to explain the latest public display of political inadequacy from the Texas governor, who could not even remember his own simplistic ideas. We will discuss what Perry's wealthy backers expected from him and why they didn't even bother to find a candidate who could survive the less than rigorous softball questioning at audience-friendly, highly staged presidential television debates. Then finally, science writer Margaret Wertheim joins us in studio to discuss her new book, Physics on the Fringe, Smoke Rings, Circlons, and Alternative Theories of Everything. We will discuss outsider physics and fringe theorists who probe the cosmos in their own way, and since all great truths begin as blasphemies, as Galileo learned the hard way, they might just end up being proven right. Joining us now is Will Bunch, who is an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and a senior fellow at Media Matters. He blogs at Attitude, that's attytood.com. He's the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy, and The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, Hive Deaf Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. He has a new ebook, October the 1st, 2011, The Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, which is about the Occupy Wall Street movement. Welcome to Background Briefing, Will Bunch.
Yeah, Ian, thanks so much for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
And there you are in the middle of Pennsylvania, and the scandal at Penn State is consuming the nation. It's absolutely confounding to think this has gone on for so long. The original incident that was reported took place in 2002, and it apparently was pretty graphic and pretty grim. And how did it take this long for the perpetrator of this to get indicted only a few days ago, and those that covered it up to get fired?
Yeah, well, it's actually even worse than you said, Ian, because actually there was a report that was made even further back in 1998. So we're talking 13 years ago now, and it's very strange. The 1998 allegation was kicked around, and like the campus police of Penn State University knew about this allegation that this assistant coach Jerry Sandusky, who, by the way, I mean, it was not just any assistant. I mean, he was the number two man under Joe Paterno, and was for a long time considered to be his heir apparent until he mysteriously resigned, which I'll get into in a second. But campus police and some other people looked into this 98 allegation that had been reported. I think the mother of the child reported possible sexual abuse, and nothing happened, which is very strange. And a year later in 99, when this coach Sandusky was still pretty young, only like 56, he mysteriously resigned, which makes you think that people from the university forced him out because of this problem that he was having with young boys. And then in spite of that, he was still allowed full access to the campus, full access to the football team's facilities. And it was in those facilities in 2002 that something just remarkably disturbing happened, which is an assistant coach in the Penn State program was in the locker room on a Friday night, and he heard some noises and actually witnessed, according to his testimony, this coach Sandusky performing a sex act on a young boy in the showers at Penn State. And
10-year-old boy, wasn't it?
Yes, right, 10-year-old. There's some uncertainty whether that's the exact age, but that's how he reported it or viewed it as being a 10-year-old boy or somebody of approximately that age. So he... this assistant coach took his concerns to a couple people, but mainly he took them to Joe Paterno, the legendary coach of Penn State, who just recently became the winningest coach in major college history. Again, this was the 2002 incident. So he went to Paterno, and Paterno told his supposed boss, although really Joe Paterno is probably the most powerful person in the whole town, but I mean, he told his nominal boss, the athletic director of Penn State, and other people were filled in. But the bottom line was nothing happened. Nobody went to the police. It's believed that knowledge of this incident went as high up, perhaps, as the president of the university, and nothing was done. And I think, you know, I think the reason nothing was done is because, well, they didn't want to endanger Joe Paterno's legacy. They didn't want to endanger the program. This program is a big moneymaker for Penn State. And really, you know, I mean, Penn State over the years, just in the course of my lifetime, I mean, they've really increasingly defined their identity as a university and as an institution through their football program. And, you know, even though, you know, it's an outstanding academic institution in a number of ways, I mean, they have one of the top meteorology programs in the country. They're very excellent in geology and other fields. But basically, you know, people who go there, I mean, football just becomes how you define yourself. I mean, I think, you know, you asked in your introduction, you know, why these kids went on a rampage and rioted last night. I mean, they're losing Joe Paterno was like having their whole world ripped from out of them, which, I mean, may sound crazy to an outsider, but to these kids, it made perfect sense.
Well, but it certainly doesn't make sense to me, because here in Los Angeles, we had University of California students protesting and occupying the Banks of America's, refusing to leave until their messages to the board of directors was faxed on. I mean, this is that's the kind of activism that we're starting to feel encouraged about that's happening on campuses. What happened at Penn State last night is just appalling. I mean, do they not understand the issues involved here?
No, I don't think so. I think, I think Joe Paterno has just been such a legendary figure on this campus. I mean, just a father figure to people. I mean, I think many of the current undergraduates are people who went to Penn State partly because the whole experience of the football program was. You know, it's just such an integral part of being at Penn State, going to the games and feeling that you're with a winner because Joe Paterno was a winner. And to have this change, I mean, it was just last weekend that he won the game that made him the winningest coach of all time, and he's carried off the field. And
but isn't that what's raising a lot of antennae, that the fact that he just reached that milestone, that important milestone, and a lot of people are speculating is that maybe is an explanation for this extraordinary long cover-up. I mean, how long has it taken this grand jury? I mean, it's gone on forever, hasn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, this investigation has gone on for 2 years. I mean, there is a there's an outstanding journalist at the Harrisburg paper, a woman named Sarah Gainan, who's, I believe she's only about 25 years old. I mean, she's a recent Penn State graduate herself, which is why she has a lot of good knowledge about what's going on there. But this reporter has been investigating this case herself for more than 2 years. So, this has been out there. And I think Paterno getting the record as the winningest coach, I mean, that certainly was another motivation. That's probably why he's hung on to his job. I don't know if your listeners know, but Paterno is 84, going on 85. He'll be 85 next month, and he's well past the age that most people would have retired. But he's one of those people who says that he would die if he was no longer coaching, basically. And so there's that. But I just think I just think Joe Paterno became larger than the institution, in the end, he became larger than just common sense and human decency in this case. You know, these were children. There are as many as, let me put it this way, there's a minimum of 8 victims in this case, and I think there's a lot of suspicion that there's more than 8 victims involved. And these children had their, you know, youth and their, you know, a big part of their lives robbed from them. Nobody with this university that people trust their children to for 4 years to be educated, nobody with this university did anything to stop it. It's really very, I mean, people here in Pennsylvania have talked about little else for the last week. I mean, people, And it's funny, I think even here in Pennsylvania, I think the majority of people, I mean, even though Penn State's the largest university, I mean, most people here are not Penn State alum or Penn State grads. And I think even people here in Pennsylvania look at these kids who rioted last night and they're like, what are you doing? You know?
Well, tell me though, Will Bunch, again, Will Bunch is the award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he has a new e-book just out, October the 1st, 2011, The Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, which is about the Occupy Wall Street movement. There's reports from he's both a columnist for the Beaver County Times and a radio personality, Mark Madden, who supposedly exposed the Penn State child abuse scandal back in April. He's claiming...
There's a lot of, it's kind of unfortunate. This guy's reporting is getting hyped by people like the Drudge Report and also the Huffington Post.
Right.
And I'd have to say at this point, I'm very dubious of this person's reporting. Part of the thing is, this is really a failure of the media, is this actually should have become a big story back in March, because March was when this reporter that I mentioned to you earlier, this Sarah Gainham from the Harrisburg Patriot News, first broke the story that this coach, Sandusky, was being investigated. This guy that you just mentioned, this guy Madden, the column, he didn't break the story at all. He just wrote a column using the facts that had been reported 3 days earlier in the Harrisburg paper. But I think because the fact that the initial report back in March didn't get picked up, it didn't even get picked up in the newspapers here in Philadelphia, which I find, in hindsight, given what a big story this has become, is kind of shocking. It's just the ways of the media world can be mysterious sometimes. And this
Let's hope the Pulitzer people recognize this young woman, because
I'm pushing for that. Actually, I think she's incredible. But yes, this guy, just to address what you're talking about, this guy Madden came out with a report on the radio today saying, that he's heard rumors, basically, that there was Sandusky was part of this broader sex ring, perhaps that people who donated money to this kid's charity that Sandusky had started and which is now believed he used to identify his victims.
The Second Mile Foundation, right?
Yeah, the Second Mile Foundation.
Which finds disadvantaged youths, right?
Right. And so, there's a rumor that investigators are looking at a broader sex operation through this charity. But I just want to stress that it's a very unfounded rumor at this point. It hasn't been confirmed. I know I tried calling the Attorney General's office to see if they would confirm or deny that this is being looked into. And they haven't. They're not even responding at this point, basically.
Let me ask you though, Will Bunch, in the broader context, do you think that this long, long cover up here at Penn State that finally resulted in the firing of this coach and of the university president. Two other people were fired earlier, but it's the idea that it went on for so long is just unbelievable. But is this really a mirror into what is a broader problem with higher education in the country, and as much as being corrupted by big money, big sports, corporate power, all of this stuff the television buys, et cetera. Is that what's going on here?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny because in the week that this has been a big story here, people have been making the same analogy again and again, which is comparing what's happened with the scandal to what happened in the Catholic Church with their child sex abuse scandal. And I think it's a fair comparison in that what you have here is an institution that thinks that's full of itself, that thinks it's doing good work, and as a result, that good work that they do makes it basically above the law. Penn State and the legacy, which I think increasingly is looking like a myth of Joe Paterno, was so central to Penn State. I mean, this is the donations that they get from wealthy alumni, and so much of this is tied into football as opposed to, like I said, I mean, it's a shame because Penn State actually is an outstanding research university. They do a lot of good academic stuff, particularly in a lot of scientific fields. And, you know, your listeners probably don't know that, but they know about Joe Paterno and Penn State's football program. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you, though,
I think they wanted to preserve this at all costs. And yes, I mean, you see this mentality at other universities. I mean, what's made this special in a bad way is the child sex abuse angle. But I think it's the same attitude you see at major universities across the country.
Well, Will Bunch, just in closing, though, I don't mean to be. I think I've expressed my disappointment in the students, because you've been covering the Occupy Wall Street movement, and there's a feeling that there's a new kind of politicization on campus. That's you know, maybe it's nothing like the '60s, but at least it's a sign that the students who are encumbered by enormous debts with very, very limited job prospects are realizing they're being ripped off by the system and want to change it. And I mentioned the demonstrations out here at University of California, Los Angeles, against Bank of America, etc., while these students are rioting in support of a guy that covered up really disgraceful and heinous crimes. Apparently the students are using the word being sandusked. I mean, is that true?
Yeah, I read that today. In fact, there was I think it was the Sarah Gainham again, but the Harrisburg paper did an interview with a relative, a sister of one of the victims of Sandusky, who happens to be a student at Penn State. And, you know, this sister is mortified that kids are talking like that. And, you know, I mean, it just goes to show that, you know, like the old Robert Palmer song says, it takes every kind of people, you know, I mean, I think what the people are doing at some of the California universities, and you know, I just posted on my blog last night the video of what I would consider a police riot against peaceful protesting students up at Berkeley. It was just outrageous, and you are seeing a new spirit of activism among young people, and I think that's because they. You know, realized the setup they're getting into with, you know, ridiculous student debt, with the lack of job prospects, et cetera. And so you see that, and you even see that, you know, there are even people at Penn State who are, you know, with this movement. But, you know, you also have a group that, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, well,
you know, you have this group that sees life as a football program.
We have fight on here with USC. I thank you for joining us.
No, well. I know. College football is big in Los Angeles, too. But, I mean, this is like an existential thing. This is like their identity, you know, their identity as Penn Staters, which is their identity as people, comes through the football program.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us, Will Bunch.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ian.
Great. I was just speaking then with Will Bunch, who is an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. He blogs at attitude.com. That's attitywood.com. He's the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy, and The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. He has a new ebook just out, October the 1st, 2011, The Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, which is about the Occupy Wall Street movement. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the Texas governor, Rick Perry, with somebody who really knows him well, Jim Moore.
Poor boy. Head against a pillow, fast asleep. Poor girl, head against a window, lost in dream. But one day they will be as giants, stronger than the sun. But that day ain't yet come.